Welcome to the B-Labs Tech Studio in Jersey City. Today is Friday, October 13th, 2017. Today, the plan is, there is no plan. There's no agenda. I wasn't able to prepare any type of material, but we are nevertheless proceeding with the session. To have everything structured and pre-planned and organized is a nice thing. It leads to a certain type of content, conversations that you're planning to have, you would like to have, and certainly a productive outcome. It's also nice not to have a plan sometimes and to see what comes up from inspiration, from nothingness. Something can certainly be born from nothing if we're able to really clear our minds and make space. Sometimes we need to make space and see what it is that comes up. Especially in this world, the modern world, our busy schedules, all the ambition and things that we're wanting to get done, trying to get done, our never-ending lists, of which I am at the top of the list of having numerous lists of things, goals, tasks, projects. And when all of that is there every single day, and we immerse ourselves in it, we can certainly be very productive. And at the same time, it can sometimes overrun us and we can get lost in it. And it doesn't always give us the space and the time we need to just check in with ourselves, check in with whether we're actually on the right track or are we just on a hamster wheel, knocking out tasks, getting things done, but not necessarily in line with our spirit or in line with our true purpose. So I felt once in a while we'll have a show like this where there's no specific agenda, no specific plan. And what I would like to do right now, what I feel inspired to do, is to just meditate for some minutes. Will be an opportunity for you as a participant to meditate along with me. And that really inspires a topic that we can discuss a bit afterwards. But I think this topic of meditation, what it is, all the different formats, finding something or multiple tools and forms that work for you, and in my case, for me, what works for you to get you to that place of nothingness, that emptiness from which questions can be answered, new ideas can be born, and a feeling of balance and just internal peace can be established. So it's something I certainly advise and strive to do in my own life every day, multiple times a day, if and when possible. And honestly, it is almost always possible because it doesn't have to take hours and hours. So what I'll do at this moment is I'm going to use this timer here, which is 10 minutes of sand, and just turn it over and begin a silent meditation. And I invite you to do it along with me, and we'll see where we end up energetically, conversationally, when we're done. Let's get started. Well, I'm not going to narrate the entire meditation I want to encourage you to just be relaxed. Put on some incense or a candle. Be comfortable. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Do what you know, if you have a format that you're already familiar with. The key is to stay focused on your breathing and to just let thoughts go. Not to get lost in your mind. Let your breathing connect you deeper into your body. Try to breathe deep into your belly. Hold it there for a bit. And gently release with no pressure and no strain. With no judgment. Eyes open or closed, sitting or standing. It's okay to move or shift your position if needed. Just be comfortable. Try to relax completely. Be in your body, not your head. it helps you, you can put your hand on your chest, your heart, or your stomach. In order to feel the inflow and the outflow of your breathing. Just be here. Be here now. Let everything else go. Thoughts come up, it's okay. Just let them float by. Don't get attached to them. And if sounds come up, just let them go. Okay, so that was a 10-minute meditation, which was, if we were present for it, timeless. I feel very clear, very light, and inspired. Sometimes when I meditate like that, either on my own or in a group, there's several groups and organizations that I am part of and participate with where we do this type of work, this type of consciousness raising work together. And it's a really special experience, a different experience when we do such a thing on our own and with different people and groups. If it's something you haven't done, I certainly encourage it. Trying this by yourself, trying different formats. It's a very experiential and experimental type of practice. And what works for one person or a certain group of people won't necessarily be as effective for others. So there's really no right or wrong way in my experience, and I've tried a lot of different things. And even the things that I prefer to do to meditate and get centered changes over time, which is interesting. And what I was leading to before was that when I do this type of meditative work, it actually stimulates a lot of ideas, which seems to go against the grain of letting thoughts go and being, you know, completely present. But I want to just venture to say and put out there that I don't think that's a paradox. I think that that can, and in my experience, has coexisted, where in the process of making this space, sometimes right during the meditation, and other times immediately after, these great sparks of at least inner wisdom for myself come up. Some of the best ideas, solutions to problems come up for me. And I do my best to record those. I think it's important when we're in this kind of state and when we can get ourselves to a state of clarity, that state of, as noted before, nothingness. And from that nothingness, the important things that we need can often come up. So, and those things can get lost if we think we retain them and we don't, you know, write them down or action them. So it's something that I encourage everyone to do, to, you know, keep a notepad or something by you so that literally as soon as you come out of this moment, you can see what it is that comes up for you. So on that note, let's take a quick, another internal break. We're gonna actually take a short break here and come back and continue this conversation on meditation, the benefits, the importance of it, and the importance of it to be integrated into our lives on a consistent basis if we truly aspire to connect to our deeper purpose, our highest purpose, and then to manifest that and materialize that purpose through our work, through our projects, and through all the busyness that part of us is eager to get back to. And that is also an important part of the equation. So we will see you in a moment, but try to, you know, remain in this state until then.
In India, 50% of our population lives on less than $2 a day, and they have no access to any kind of public health system which can take care of them.
100 years after the first heart surgery, less than 20% of the world's population can afford it. For 80% of the world's population, if they ever require a heart operation, they're going to die.
You see a small child, mother is holding a child, and you tell them that there's a hole in the heart which needs to get fixed. The first question the mother asks in this country is, how much is it going to cost?
The patient and their family should be focused on the healing and the recovery and not having to worry about the finances.
Health City is a vision to change the way that healthcare is delivered and to provide the highest quality of healthcare at the lowest price to the largest number of people.
Anyone that doesn't believe that healthcare is being disrupted outside the boundaries of the U.S. is not watching what's happening in the Cayman Islands, and they're not watching what's happening in India.
We have to find ways of reducing cost. You can no longer spend 18 or 19% of your GDP on healthcare. It's unsustainable.
I believe that India will prove to the world that the wealth of the nation has nothing to do with the quality of healthcare. And once that happens in India, it will be very easy for other countries to follow.
So I hope we've been able to maintain at least some of the state of calmness and centeredness that we achieved during our brief meditation. It's quite amazing, isn't it? For all of the volumes of books about self-help and psychology and wellness, that something as simple as meditating and taking the time for yourself to clear everything out and just focus on breathing and your body and detaching from endless thoughts can be as uplifting as the most complex ideas and solutions that people can think about. So what came up for me, and during the break I just wrote five things down on my little table notepad here, and now while we started the show without any agenda or any type of plan, the inspiration came up in me through the meditation to discuss some of these topics. So that first point of just pure simplicity and keeping things simple and really keeping in check that part of our brain and that part of us, our intellect, that wants to sometimes, and I speak for myself, wants to overcomplicate things and go down all these rabbit holes and think about 100 different scenarios and potential outcomes, and it's like a endless pattern and pathway that doesn't really ever get reconciled. And not that it's not good to ruminate on things. It's interesting that the word to meditate, when someone says, hey, meditate on this, it means really ruminate, think about it, which can really get into that part of our brain that wants to go in a number of directions. So I find it language interesting, because there's a word like meditate, which could mean multiple things. But I believe when we meditate in a deeper internal sense, we can do both. It doesn't mean we have to keep our mind clear and blank all day. It just means that we're decluttering and we're centering, we're grounding ourselves so that the thoughts and the contemplation that we do can come from a deeper place and can tap into, go beyond just the purely intellectual brain into kind of an intuitive part of ourselves and see what comes forward from that. So that simplicity is the first note. The second thing on the list here is what I wrote down is keeping it with you throughout the day. So another form of meditation is prayer. In different cultures, as we know, and religious practices prescribe all types of prayer multiple times a day, once a day, whatever it may be, it all certainly has its place. And that is part of the brilliance, I think, of multiple times a day meditation or prayer, because it's easy to lose when once you have a certain nice feeling or vibration, and then you take the subway to work and you have to deal with 1,000 people on the street and all the noise of most modern societies, which are in big cities like this one, Jersey City and New York City. It's very hard to keep it with you, but it's possible. And we don't have to just be in a meditative state in total silence and in total stillness physically. We could be meditating while we walk. Sometimes when I'm walking, even on a crowded street, I'll just close my eyes and put my hand, you know, on my heart and try to walk a little bit slower instead of the rat race mode that we can kind of unconsciously get into. So keeping it with you, there's a few tips and tricks we can give on that, but the general concept is to just check in with yourself throughout the day and realize that even as you're talking, like right now as I'm talking, it can be very easy for me to go into my head and lose myself in the mental realm of ideas without maintaining my anchor. And so to keep it with you, I would just say one of the keys would be to have a multi-meditation day, not just morning or night. And all it has to be is 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Set an alarm on your phone. Find a quiet place to go to. If you don't have your own office at work, go into the bathroom, take a walk. There's a lot of creative ways that we can find this time and space. And you could even do it while you're talking to people. You could be in a crowded meeting. And it doesn't mean you're checking out of the meeting or tuning out what people are saying. It just means that you're bringing some internal awareness, some breathing, slowing down your speech. And you can do it anywhere, at any time. So keeping it with you, also in line with that, consistency is important. And what I notice is that if I skip meditating and having these kind of check-ins for too many days in a row, or just even one day at times, it doesn't mean my whole life is going to fall apart on those days, but there's a subtle quality that others may not feel, or some may, those that are sensitive or those that know me well, that I'm rushed or that I'm tired or just seem distracted. Whereas when these practices are done consistently in me and in others, other people can feel it. And plus, it makes my day and what I get done actually a lot more effective and more fulfilling. The next note, as I mentioned before the break, is to write things down, whatever format you're comfortable with. Good old-fashioned pen and paper, notepad, whiteboards. As you'll see in our studio, we pretty much have floor-to-ceiling whiteboards all the way around. Because creativity and ideation really has no limits and no boundaries. So I always had problems with those small little whiteboards on easels where you run out of space. Here we run out of space as well, but there's a lot more space to deal with. So I enjoy the whiteboard framework, but you might like Evernote or OneNote or Dropbox Paper has a good product. There's a lot of cool technology applications that can help you track the best ideas that come out of your meditative, quiet, centering periods. And for me, I could say, bar none, throughout my life, all of my best ideas and all of the solutions to keep critical problems have either come through dreams that I've had while sleeping, which is essentially a deep form of meditation, or conscious waking state meditations. So it's really, for me, as an entrepreneur, and to put this in kind of a business, an entrepreneurial life productivity context, the most productive tool for my work, for my companies and entrepreneurial path has been this type of meditative practice. So this isn't just some kind of esoteric, you know, detach from life and go sit on a mountaintop type of practice, at least the way I'm integrating it into the modern world that I live in, that I want to be part of and be a productive member of. In this day and age, we can take the best of these kind of ancient practices and just what works well for our human vehicle to kind of keep it fresh and to keep centered. And when not centered, how to get centered. So write things down in some format or fashion, just the way I did during the 2 minute break that we had. And you'll be surprised at the quality of the ideas and thoughts and the clarity that comes up when you're in this state versus doing so when you're in your hustle and bustle state. I mentioned it before as well, the group work. It's a very interesting topic. There's, in this day and age, with all of the meetups and all of the different types of groups that, again, modern cities like New York here and all around the country, all around the world, most modern cities offer different types of diverse, different backgrounds of meditation and prayer and other types of, call it psychological or self-help or emotional practices. In New York, in Midtown, there's a place called Open Center, which has different teachers, different speakers coming every week talking about different topics and different forms of meditation. It's something that I certainly recommend. I'm also part of a group called the Institute for Hermetic Philosophy, which has a wonderful branch and location in Midtown, New York, where one of my mentors, Dario Salas, is the founder and the author of numerous books, and really a genius of a spiritual and world leader in ways, trying to help humanity, help all of us with ways to be more connected with ourselves, with our purpose, so that we can then come together and unify and achieve the things that we're capable of achieving individually and collectively. Another organization I'm involved with is a Sufi temple, Darga Al-Farah, in downtown in the West Village, which has a whole lineage of teachers going back many, many generations that have also written numerous books like Adam from the Son of Knowledge, which again teach a much deeper form of the little ounce that we're talking about here today. But this is part of the centerpiece of it, is getting grounded, being centered, and connecting to our higher selves and our purpose. And so bringing that back in terms of group work, it is a nice and I think essential component to what can help us really grow in this way. So it's something I encourage all of us to continue exploring and try to find others that kind of synchronize with us and that share a similar desire to kind of get the most and the best out of themselves and out of this wonderful opportunity we have here called life. And the last thing I would say, and I'll leave us with this topic, which is a topic that I've written about and spoken about, but not too much lately. I call it NoTech 50, and it is a kind of challenge, and this in the spirit of the Polymath Project. As noted from the beginning, we're not a passive show. We're not looking to just be on a soapbox talking here. We're looking to be active and to challenge you, challenge all of us to participate and take some active step to changing ourselves and to changing the world in a positive way. And although I'm an incredibly huge advocate of technology, and you know, my companies are all focused on building apps and tech, and we're web and digitally centric, I believe and I see so much value in what we've done scientifically and technologically to bridge the gap in the world and create, you know, everything we've done in terms of the internet and the freedom and openness of information and what is accessible to people. All of that said, there is this other component where the technology can kind of run us and take over our attention, the same attention that we sought to get back through this internalizing, grounding meditation can very easily get lost when we watch too much TV or spend too much time on Facebook. Not to mention, not just on our laptops anymore, but now with these mobile phones, these smartphones, which are wonderful tools, but they go everywhere with us. and it can be a very addictive force. So I want to challenge myself and others to have a day a week where you limit, significantly limit your technology. I said no tech 50, and our plan is through the Polymath project to put up a little mini app or have a module where we allow people to sign up, take a pledge, and whether maybe you think you can't do 50, but you can do 25 days, this is in the course of a year. So let's say 2018 is coming up, and I want to challenge myself and invite you all to participate with me. And let's take a pledge, a No Tech 50 pledge for 2018, and if it goes well, continue on after that. And what does that mean for you and me? It could be something different. For me, it might mean I'm not going to have my phone for one whole day every week, which would equate to 50 days for the year. And I won't watch any TV on those days. So it's very difficult to get completely away from technology unless we go up to the woods and the mountains, which we certainly could. And that's another consideration. We can take 2 days, a couple of weekends, a quarter, and literally go off the grid, so to speak. And I have plenty of friends that take it to that, I don't even want to call it an extreme level, I would say an ultra-disciplined level, and are committed to connecting deeply into nature and deeply into themselves, and recognizing that when we're in the midst of these kind of cities with all of the cellular waves and radiation and Wi-Fi networks flowing through the air, that can affect us and does affect us, whether we are aware of it and care to acknowledge it or not, it does. And I know that there is a prevailing sense of thought that this is just the way of the world and we just have to kind of roll with the punches, so to speak, and find a way to swim in it and live in it. And in some sense, that's right. We do have to live in that if we choose to live in or near a large city. But that, I think, even makes it all the more important to have these retreats. And instead of having, one can have a huge retreat a couple of times a year, which, if that's possible, that's great. But I would recommend in this kind of No Tech 50 proposition or pledge that we try to integrate it on a more periodic basis, once or twice a week. And you have to define what that means for you, and then see what comes up and what you will do with that extra time and energy that you're not, you know, connecting to whatever form of technology that you will commit to limiting during this low-tech, no-tech time period. So I'm really happy that that's what came up during the earlier meditation, and that I've had a chance to actually share that with you, because this is actually an idea that's been with me for some time and that I've practiced in various forms myself. And the eventual goal is to have a small app, ironically, a technology app that would track our non-technology commitments. So that's, again, the irony of it, I think, is interesting and kind of cool. And there, again, it's a cool theme that there is space for multiple sides of a situation, and not everything is always so black and white. And I'm going to leave us on that note with the No Tech 50 challenge. And I hope that, again, what we've been able to gain, and I know that speaking to myself and for myself, what we have gained here in the last 30 minutes, and what I've been able to do to kind of center and ground myself, and then have this wonderful interaction, is something that I'll look to take forward into the rest of the day. So I hope that everyone who's online now has a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Take care.